Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined on the telephone this weekend by Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs. During the first segment, we talked exclusively about the current fiscal year budget and looking ahead to next year. And CAO Riggs, staying on the topic of the budget, can you explain a little bit about general fund revenues, where exactly that money comes from, where are the different avenues?
Yes, of course. So our general fund revenues are primarily property taxes, our hotel tax, which is called the TOT tax, sales tax. We have about $46 million in general revenues that the board has discretion over. And there are a lot of other different types of funds. Now, these are specifically the discretionary funding that the board has to provide for what we call the net county cost for our department. So let's use our sheriff's department as an example. They receive funding specifically for providing law enforcement, but they don't receive enough funding. So this discretionary fund must backfill that net cost. So let's say their total cost, and these aren't real numbers, but say their total cost is $15 million to throw a number out there, and maybe they get $7.5 million. So the other $7.5 million to run all of law enforcement, you know, jail, patrol, investigations, all of the dispatch, everything, we would then have to find additional revenues to backfill that net county cost of $7.5 million. And just to be clear, those are not real numbers, they're just hypothetical. But that's how those general revenues are used. Then we have to balance that with what's called mandated services and what might be more discretionary services. So for those who have been watching, you know, the California Constitution says the primary job of local government and the first priority that we should be giving is to local public safety. And so when we look at that, we want to make sure that, you know, we have a jail, that we have deputies on the street, that we have a district attorney and constitutional public defense, and that we have probation to do the oversight. But then we have other things that we have to do, such as everyone in this building. If we didn't have the assessor to go work on the tax roll for the tax collector to collect, the auditor controller wouldn't be able to pay the bills for all of the departments. And then in our office on the top floor, we primarily support the Board of Supervisors, and we help to administer the policy that the board sets. We do budget, we run emergency services and purchasing guidelines. So all of it works together, but the board doesn't have a lot of flexibility when it comes to discretionary programs because we have such a there's such a pull on those general revenues. So one of the few discretionary programs that we run are our library and rec programs. And as everyone knows, those are critical to the quality of life. And so we work hard to try and maintain those types of services.
You know, the libraries and the rec, do you know off the top of your head, you know, how much money goes from the general fund to those areas?
Well, the library is almost 100%. So it's about $1 million goes to the library. And that's close to about $1 million for our rec services. And that's all of them, our youth center, Standard Park. That would be everything.
And so, you know, after the Thursday meeting, where do things go from here to kind of look ahead to the future?
So if anyone was watching and listening, the board asked for some more specific data. So that's what we're gathering right now. When we go back for the next board meeting, we will have a timeline out for the board. We always bring in the first look at the budget for the first Tuesday in June, and then we ask the board to provide some more direction. Then we come back in the third Tuesday in June, and we ask the board that they would approve the budget, and that provides the spending plan beginning July 1st. That it's only the budget that gives the departments the authority to spend. That's why it's so important that we get it done before July 1st. So we will essentially have the month of May to put this budget together and get it in front of the board so that we can get some further direction on priorities and the decision making on how that budget will be developed and then implemented in the coming year.
Another facility that came up Thursday was the new juvenile hall. Is there a clear legal understanding yet about the potential to close the juvenile hall if the county wanted to?
Well, it's very clear on what the contract says between the county and Department of Corrections and Department of Public Works, both at the state. You know, we received a $16 million grant, and that $16 million grant was backed by bonds that the individuals across the state or nation could invest in. And so that's why it's so important that the state makes sure that it's ran the way that they said it would be run, meaning it's used for that type of service. So we need to begin reaching out to the state. It says that we can't close it without prior permission from them. It also says we can't change the use. So there might be some other, if we decide, meaning the board, if they were to decide, and it doesn't mean that they will, but if they were to decide to change the type of service, meaning, okay, maybe we can't afford to run the juvenile hall, we're going to look at something else. Well, then we would work with Department of Corrections to see what other type of services they might allow to be run out of that building. So right now, what we need to do is begin that conversation that contract requires that we have before we begin changing our closing services.
At the meeting on Thursday, there was a figure thrown out, like $400,000 to $500,000 for the juvenile hall. Is that how much it would cost, you know, to keep it open as opposed to having it closed and having to have kids go to other areas of the state?
And that's a hard number. So right now, this year, the net county cost for a juvenile hall was about $1.7 million. And the total cost to run it was closer to $1.9, but they do receive some revenues. But what we have to remember is that we have a legal obligation to place these children and these juveniles in services that will help them to get the services that they need, such as behavior health or any other type of rehabilitative services and education. So in the past, we would have spent anywhere from $350,000 to, say, $700,000 per year. And the reason that varies is it depends on the individual, it depends on the type of offense they may have committed, and it depends on the level of services that they need. When we place a child, say, up in Siskiyou County, you know, it's a long drive, and we have to do all the transportation for those kids. So not only do we have to pay our staff to drive them up there, every time there's a court date, they have to come back here. So we have to pay staff to go up and get them and bring them back down. And the same thing happens with medical appointments. Our staff would have to go get them, take them to the medical appointment, and then take them back and drive back. So another reason I take the time to explain that is you kind of get a feel for the amount of cost and services and risk that might be associated with transferring these young kids all over the state of California. So it's not a clear number. It depends. This year we've had as many as 15 to 20 of our own youth in at one time, and sometimes you might only have five. So it's not a clear-cut number that it will always be $500,000. That's why we give a range.
Here we're talking to Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. In our final segment coming up next, we'll talk a little bit more about the local response to COVID-19. That's coming up next on Motherlode Views.